Welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selena Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pavitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship, and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
Hello and welcome to another Project Love podcast episode. It's the two of us here today. Hi, Vicky.
Hi, Selena.
I'm getting the giggles. I'm getting the giggles because it's reminiscent of old podcasts we used to do when we used to record it from Sammy's little teepee to get good acoustics. I'm currently hidden. I'm lying on Sammy's bunk bed, a child's bunk bed, hiding away from the sound of a strimmer outside my house. So, yeah, it's nostalgic and actually ties in very well with today because we have a bit of an announcement to make. We have decided that after, how many, has it been 6 years of the Project Love podcast?
You know what? It's been 7 years.
No!
I've been taking a trip down memory lane this week and our first episode was 2014.
Oh, yeah. My God. We're not disappearing altogether. Don't panic. But we are first going to take a sabbatical over the summer, take a break from doing the Project Love podcast. And when we come back in September, we will be doing a once a month podcast, Vicky and me. So we will be, it now is the end of our chapter, our very long chapter of having guests on the Project Love podcast. Mm-hmm. So today it's, well, we just wanted to really reflect back on 7 years of doing this podcast. It's not a full goodbye because we will be turning up every month to give you an episode of the two of us, but it is a goodbye to inviting guests onto the show and doing it weekly after 7 years. So today we wanted to just reminisce and the different sort of shapes it's taken, but also to reflect back on some of our favourite podcast episodes and in particular, favourite podcast episodes with our guests. But yeah, how are you feeling, Vicky, about us? Oh, I'm feeling a bit emotional about us not closing this chapter, moving on to a new chapter. But yeah, saying goodbye to this big chapter of having guests on the show.
Well, because I've been reminiscing this week, I realised that when we... Well, actually, I was going back to when we first started doing the episodes, just like visualizing it. So I went back in my mind to your flat in Brixton and sitting there and talking, having these great conversations about life and love, and you suggesting that we just put them on SoundCloud and hit record. I had no idea what having a podcast meant at the time. I remember being so terrified about it. I couldn't listen to them for the first few months because I just felt so scared about having these conversations out there. I had such a huge vulnerability hangover. So I was really reminiscing about that and how it's just grown and evolved over these years. And just looking back at this amazing collection of episodes just makes me feel so proud and grateful that we've had such wonderful guests in our podcast journey so far, and how much it's been a source of learning and inspiration and wisdom. And it's just been it's been such a fulfilling, rewarding journey.
Honestly, for me, having this podcast has absolutely been life-changing. It has definitely shaped the course of my life. It has, you know, the guests we've had on and the conversations that I've got to have with those guests, they really have made like a genuinely profound difference to me. And I absolutely love. I love podcasts. I love everything audio. And my podcast journey, we will be sharing a little bit about what we're going to be doing next and having freed ourselves up a little bit with doing fewer episodes on the Project Love. But yeah, my podcast journey isn't over because I love the conversations that happen with podcasts, because you get to do what we love to do and what this podcast is all about, is have deep dives, you know, have deep conversations about life. And yeah, it's it really has been life-changing and life-shaping for me, I would say.
Yeah, me too. And just to like to listen to each other's as well, to have those conversations ourselves with the guests that we've had, and then to listen to each other's episodes, and then to come together and do these joint ones. Oh, there's been such a richness. It's like there's such a texture to the podcast journey that's just been so amazing. It's been just really just so special, so incredibly special.
So today we're going to talk about some of our favourite episodes. We've each chosen one episode of our own with a guest, with one of our guests that we has been a really memorable one, and an episode with the other, one of their guests. What a weird way of introducing it. But you know what I mean. So, Vicky, which episodes have you chosen?
So your episode with Nova Reid, it was 2019. It was two years ago this month, wasn't it? It was July 2019.
Was it?
Your first episode with Nova, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I would say of all the conversations that we've had on the podcast over the years, it's one of the most, if not the most important conversation that we've had. And it just, I had a very personal experience when listening to the podcast. I realized, well, I think it woke me up to my white fragility and just gave me a perspective on anti-racism that I'd never heard before. Had to work through a lot of shame that I'd only come to the conversation at that point. And just, I think it's just stayed with me and moved me and challenged me and just woke me up to the work that I needed to do. And I just think for a conversation, for an hour conversation on a podcast, to have that effect on somebody is pretty profound.
Yeah, I think for me, it's by far the most important conversation that I had on the podcast. And it was such a beautiful conversation to have. I remember Nova at the time saying that she found it really healing to have such an open conversation with a white woman that we'd never met before. So we had connected, we'd had a chat on the phone, I think we'd had a chat on Zoom before we actually met in person to record it. And I had been doing her course, her anti-racism course, which is in itself absolutely life-changing, I think for about 6 months, and I really wanted to make sure I had been either I had finished it or was very much towards the end of it. I wanted to make sure I'd done that before having the conversation with her. And, well, like you, I think had I had the conversation with her beforehand, I would have brought a lot more of my white fragility and shame spiraling and yes, buts kind of responses to it. And so it was, yeah, it was an extraordinary, honest conversation between a black woman and a white woman about racism. And you know, and I was talking for the first time, I have since talked quite a lot about it, but talking about my experience of shining a light on my own inner racism, which I feel very, very passionately is the work that all white people need to be doing to help bring about the you know, the very real urgent need we have to really address the racism that we all have in us, because, you know, it's in the fabric of our society. And it was, yeah. And Nova's just, she's just extraordinary. She's, I think, without a doubt, the most courageous woman I have ever come across. But so powerful. And at the same time, brings so much light and joy. And we were having a conversation about racism and about her lived experience as a black woman and the pain and the, you know, wounds caused by living in a society that has so much racism in it. And yet she brought so much lightness and joy and laughter to the conversation as well. And so, yeah, it was a conversation that I felt was really full of hope, really full of hope, and showed what is possible when we dare to have these conversations. So it was a real honour to have Nova on the podcast. And her book now, The Good Ally, It's coming out in September, actually, and I've got a press copy. And wow, I'm literally, I turned the first few pages and I said to Nova, Nova has since then become a really good friend of mine, which is also really special. You know, when you look back on that first conversation and it sort of was the beginnings of this beautiful friendship we have now. It's the book. Is just it's exactly how I experienced that first conversation with her. It's so powerful, it's transformative, it's smart, and she brings in this joy and lightness or light and hope with it, with this, you know, in this powerful and often very painful conversation. So yeah, that is to come. But yeah. It was a powerful, that one, wasn't it?
So powerful. And also just the vulnerability for you sharing your experience and the brave leadership with both of you. It was so inspiring to listen to that conversation that just had so much to offer people. And also just kind of modeling how to have a conversation about race and anti-racism and white privilege between a Black woman and a white woman. I felt that it was a really good model in which to have a conversation like that. And yeah, it was just such a powerful episode.
Oh, that was actually the one I also chose as my favorite one. we both chose the same ones for one another. So we had to mix it up a bit. But I will choose my favorite for you. We both chose the same one for you, Vicky, but I'm going to kick it off. I'm going to keep it as mine. The one on attachment theory with Helen Dent, and you have since gone on to just teach us so much about attachment theory. But that one with Helen Dent is our most popular episode, our most listened to episode ever. And it is amazing how you're introducing a concept that most of us had not come across before, you know, attachment theory, but it resonated so profoundly that it has to this day been the one that has been most listened to. And it's just, and I remember at the time, I even remember where I was listening to it. I was actually in Devon. I was in Hope Cove. I remember the room that I was in listening to it and my mind being blown. And I was so many aha moments. And I was like, oh my God, I am 100% anxious attachment style. This is making so much sense. But what was so powerful about it for me was the fact that Helen Dent brought so much knowledge and depth and understanding about attachment theory. But what really made it powerful was you took that and then you would put it into sort of practical terms that really brought it to life. And I'm not surprised it's the most listened to, because I think people must have listened to it and then passed it on to their friends and gone, oh my God, you need to listen to this. One of the first times you'd really, you know, that was the beginning of your journey, really, of really owning that attachment theory, or bringing it into far more into a central focus in your work. Was it then, or had it already been happening?
So it had been happening behind the scenes. So I'd been reading a lot. I'd already read Attached, I think the year before I read Helen's book. And then I'd always been interested in it. And I actually studied it 20 years ago when studying psychology. Yeah. And I'd forgotten about it. And I even found an essay that I'd written when I was 19 about, it was actually based on Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. And I was talking about...
Of course.
I was talking about gender differences in communication styles and intimacy needs. But
you were writing about that when you were 19.
Yeah, but I'd forgotten about this. And actually what I've realized recently, well, in the last few years in revisiting attachment theory, is that it's not about gender differences. I read Men Are From Mars, you know, 20 odd years ago, and I was like, oh my God, this is so fascinating. I think that's what sparked my interest in relationships. But I thought it was really gendered, and it's only in the last few years when reading about attachment theory in adulthood and not just in in childhood, which is what I learned about in psychology, I've realized it's not gendered differences. They're just attachment differences.
Yeah.
And I'm now talking about those same communication differences and intimacy needs and all of that within the context of attachment theories. It's the same conversation that's kind of evolved over time. But I think that conversation with Helen, it lit a fire in me.
Yeah.
And I just felt so excited to share more of this knowledge with people. And it's over the last couple of years started to become more, has become a part of my coaching program and the course that I want to do. So it's just really, there's just been so much momentum around it. And I really thank Helen for coming on to the podcast and having that conversation, because seeing the reaction with people that have listened to it that said, you know, I've never heard of it before, and they gave the conversation, gave a good introduction to it, and seeing how many people have listened to it, it's been 9,000, nearly 9,000 listens that it's had. It's just encouraged me even more.
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely a popular topic.
Yeah. And actually, you know what was so great that one of the big lessons that came out of that conversation is that no matter what your attachment style is, that we can all work consciously to become more secure and have the relationship that we really want. And that little nugget, that lesson, has just been so central to my work over the last few years, because I want to help people to actually get to that place of more security, whether you're single or in a relationship. So it's just, it really lit something up in me. And it's just been... I'm so grateful that Helen came on and I was able to have it.
I don't think I'd really clocked before that you can go from being anxious or avoidant and become more secure in your relationships.
Yeah.
I feel like I had kind of missed that very essential part of the whole message.
It's a concept called earned security. So you can feel secure, but yet still have those same tendencies. Yeah, exactly. So I think it is a bit more helpful to look at it in terms of tendencies rather than style. You know, you are this, because some people actually relate to the avoidant ones and the anxious ones. So it's just figuring out what's your flavor, you know, what are your tendencies, and then they're the areas to focus on, you know, if you want to work in this area.
And they probably flare up in different ways with different people and different types of relationship as well, I'm sure.
Yeah. And you can have different attachments with different people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oof.
There you go. This is why it's such a fascinating topic. But also, you know, I think this is what I love about podcasts is they really highlight the power of conversation. And that's what I've always loved about the Project Love podcast, is that the conversations we have, you know, that we hope, our hope is always that it will shift something in the listener or open up something or get them looking at something from a fresh perspective that will inspire them, or, you know, get them opening up their own inquiry. But also it just, you know, we've really experienced the, you know, the life-changing impact of these, of having these conversations. And it is about creating the space for deep conversations and very present conversations, because for me it's in my coaching sessions, it's in these podcasts, whether it's you and I talking or with a guest, and probably in sisterhood circles where I really have that experience of deep conversation, deep listening, but also really just, you drop into a place with these conversations. I think people drop into their wisdom, their intuition, the conversation almost takes on a life of its own, and sort of you don't really know where the conversation is going to flow to. And even during the conversation, you know, people can have a sort of realization or an aha moment of their own, even if it's a topic they've known really well. And I just think, the power of these kinds of conversations, I will never grow tired of them. Just so grateful, like the fact that we've been having this, the kind of these kinds of conversations on a regular basis for 7 years, really has, certainly for me, it's had a profound impact on, you know, on my life and also to my fulfillment as well. It's been such an integral part of my fulfillment. Mm. And yeah, so grateful for it. We've learned so much as well.
Oh my God. Yeah, so much. And I think there's such an intimacy with listening, like listening to conversations. I think you can get it reading books as well, that same intimacy, but there's something really special about listening, particularly listening to two or three people. Actually, sometimes we've had two guests, haven't we? Listening to conversations where you feel like you're a bit of a fly on the wall and listening in. And people have written to us over the years and said, you know, particularly the ones with me and you, where they said, oh, it just felt like I was sitting with you at the kitchen table with a cup of tea, listening to two girlfriends talk.
And, or lying in a child's bunk bed with you. In a tiny teepee.
Oh my God, the teepee.
Oh, I've got one of, I think it's got to be my favorite location for a podcast was when we did one with Canopy and Stars. We went to Gloucestershire. I can't remember now. Who did we interview?
Oh, Penny and Will.
What good memory, Penny and Will, who ran this incredible, beautiful kind of woodland sanctuary with tree houses and cabins and sort of little hobbit houses that they had created, and we interviewed them sitting out on a dining room table out in a field overlooking the hills of Gloucestershire, and we asked them about how they'd gone from their lives in London as actors to living, you know, out in nature and building cabins and living with the land. It's just so inspiring. There have been so many inspiring stories. It's, you know, I love the stories. And actually, when Vicky said she was going to do the attachment theory one, I said, all right, you can have that one. I'll choose for you, Vicky, your real love stories. You know, they have been so special. They're definitely amongst my memorable ones of yours and your interviews with, you know, Lauren, who'd been a client of yours, and talking about her journey of finding love and getting married and how stuck she'd been for so many years. Very reminiscent of my own story, actually, when it came to love. And Luke, I remember Luke's gorgeous real love story.
Yes.
And it's Anne Bexy's, who was obviously then on, you know, last week sharing, or 2 weeks ago, sharing, you know, I interviewed her about her book, Cult Following. She's a really dear friend of both of ours. And you interviewed her, her real love story, which has been, it was so inspiring. So many people, you know, said, wow, I learned so much in that. Because she really summed it up at the end with her sort of like top 10 life, like love, love lessons in love.
You know what? That podcast episode, I think, got the most people emailing in and commenting about it. I remember sending Bexy just so many screen grabs of people going, oh my God, this episode, I loved it. I learned this. Please thank Bexy for me. Yeah.
It was so good. But yeah, those real love stories. And then of course the one that I did with Pav just before you guys got married, which was amazing. And then a surprise, kind of, it went live while we were on your hen party, and I think I played it in the coach on the way home.
Yeah.
And everyone's very hungover.
Yeah, that was a real surprise hearing his voice on the coach home. Oh, that was such a special episode. I think that it's really rare to hear your partner talk about you when you're not in the same room, you know, listening to them, to their experience of, you know, us starting a relationship, and his, you know, his experience of all of that. I think it's really rare, isn't it, to hear your partner talk in that way. So that felt like being a fly on the wall in a really, great way for me to hear him. Oh, so special. And I just started to now think of all the different locations where we've recorded. So as you said, where we did the Penny and Will one, we'd just come out of our treehouse. We'd staying in a treehouse that weekend and, you know, walked over to the field to do the recording. And, you know, it goes from that to a teepee, your son Sammy's teepee, to listening to one on my hen do as a surprise, and you having to record it in secret.
Yeah, well, I recorded at your flat, actually. And then, of course, we did for a while. We had that fantastic podcast studio that we used to go to. We got proper professional for a while. Out of a teepee and into a studio. And I remember we went past it. What was the cafe it was in?
Oh, Mare Street Market.
Mare Street Market. I remember we went to Mare Street Market, not to go and record the podcast, but just we met up there. I can't remember why. And we suddenly saw, oh my God, this podcast studio. And we were like, life goals. One day, we too will be recording in this studio. And then actually, after a few months, we just decided to make the dream come true. And that was really special. That was...
Yeah.
I loved it in there. Although you could actually hear a little bit of the cafe background, which defeated the purpose.
I know, you said you've got to find a soundproof room in London.
I know. And then actually also, you know, all the episodes we did, you know, during lockdown, and it actually having this podcast was such a source of, for me, such an anchor, you know, to be talking each week about our experiences of living through lockdown and, you know, sharing how we have been navigating the corona coaster. And my God, I mean, it still blows my mind that we're still living in this weird, not normal, new normal, whatever we're calling it now. Yeah. And it's been, has it been 16 months now, I think?
I think it's next month, I think.
Basically, it's been a year and a half. It's just insane. Yeah. But it was, you know, it's been such a source of way to connect with people as well. You know, even though obviously it's just us talking to you lovely listeners. I definitely feel, you know, because we've got to know you so well over the years and we feel the community of listeners, you feel that presence that you find when you're having the conversations. It doesn't just feel like, it's not just like you and me having a chat. It is three of us, you know, there's us two and the listener.
Yeah.
And I just remember listening to Brené Brown. Oh, I'm going to forget the name of both the lady, the author and the book, but it was a book about, I think it was a book about community and about groups. And saying, you know, in a podcast, and it was her and Brené Brown on Brené Brown's podcast. And she said, well, in this, we are in a community because you need three for a community or for a group. Mm. And she said, it's you, me, and the listener. And that makes this almost like this sacred space to have conversations in. And so even though there's two people actually talking on the podcast, it's actually three because you include the listener. And I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that. Ah, oh, so powerful.
Mm. So what was your favourite one?
So I did at first choose, I mean, there have been so many, but the one I'm choosing today is the interview I did with Anna Lyons and Louise Winter. And it's called We All Know How This Ends, Lessons About Life and Living from Working with Death and Dying. And Anna Lyons and Louise Winter, I sometimes get it the wrong way around, but I believe Louise is the funeral director and Anna is an end-of-life doula. And so their whole career is around supporting people in times of death and dying and loss and grief. And I think it's a book that, I mean, everyone would benefit from reading. It's such an extraordinary conversation. And it actually happened a week before my father-in-law did sadly die from COVID out in Venezuela. And we had I just lost my grandma, Fonz's grandmother, and his uncle all to COVID. And it's so weird, isn't it? I often find this, that people will contact us or publishers will contact us and say, here's a book, would you like to interview them? And then it would just come at the perfect time. There could not have been a more perfect time for me to talk about death and dying than when I was really in the thick of it. And I've actually just yesterday came back from my friend's dad's funeral, went up to Herefordshire, and it was the most beautiful funeral I have ever been to. And it just, they, it was, it's in this natural burial ground, and he was in a wicker coffin, and we, you know, he was there, we sat around, we told stories, and we were out under a tree, and it was just, I mean, that is how I would like my funeral to be. But having this conversation with Anna and Louise, just, I don't know, it just, there was, it made me realize how much of a taboo, how little we talk about death and dying and funerals, and acknowledge the fact that it will all happen to us, that we will all have to bury those that we love, and we will all die. And it was such a profound conversation. We talk so little about death and dying and funerals, and it's just so crazy because, you know, as the book says, we all know how this ends. And it was, yeah, it was definitely another one which was, first of all, it came at the perfect time, but just had a really profound effect on me. I have to say, I think every interview, every conversation I've had has had a really deep, deep effect on me. The one with Britta Fernandez-Schmidt, from Fears to Fierce. Just listening to her book was a transformational experience. And then that conversation just, yeah, was just, it was electric. Was electric.
You could feel that too. You could feel that electricity of it.
Yeah. Yeah. That was definitely, that was one that I sent around saying to friends of mine, you got to listen to this. I think you'll really enjoy it. She's just like a magical conversationist and goes really deep and doesn't hold back and really speaking to your soul. I think, you know, some people do have that ability to sort of address your soul directly, cut through the crap and just go straight in there. But yeah, just so many.
Yeah, the one with Anna and Louise, I resisted listening to it at first because I have such a fear of death. And listening to it, again, it was another episode that gave me just a different perspective on death. And it just, there's something that she said at the end about engaging with death helps you to engage more with life.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just things like that when you hear those little nuggets of wisdom and you just think, oh yeah, that's really helped me to change my outlook on something and to feel less scared about it as well. It was such a beautiful conversation. I loved how many references to cake there were.
Just, it was so funny, but they, I know. I think it started off with me saying that I had had, when my grandmother died and I was in Argentina, and before they came to take her away, to take the body away, my mother and I sat with my grandmother, and she'd, you know, a few hours after she had died, and we had tea and cake. And my mum was just like, is this a bit weird? And we were like, but that's what she loved. She loved to have tea and cake. And they were like, no. And it turns out that both, you know, Anna and Louise, when they sort of there at that point, you know, the loved one has died, that they often introduce cake. There's like, it's a very grounding food to have. And there's a ceremonial element to cake, you know, cutting the cake, and it's very comforting. And so I was just like, wow. So yeah, we did have a lot of mentions of cake. Cake is a big deal. Death and cake. It's really important, that conversation about death and dying and, you know, what rituals we want. And I think, you know, we sort of sanitized it. We talked a lot about that, how we've sanitized it in our society, and we keep death away and, you know, we keep it apart, and we need to, you know, really welcome it back in. And I really saw it. I really saw it in action, you know, at this really beautiful funeral. And I thought that's how I want to do it. That's how I want it to be done when I die. And it is, sometimes I think we forget that we will die.
Yeah.
Quite an important one to hold on to. that knowledge, that, you know, that acknowledgement, I think it does help. And that's why they say it's lessons about life and living from working with death and dying. You know, because I think we avoid it because we're so afraid of it, and it's the ultimate unknown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know. But yeah. Big conversations, Vicky.
What I've loved over these years is just hearing people tell their stories. And the one that really stands out to me was your interview with Jessica Huey, and just hearing someone speak their truth and share their story and share their work and their purpose. And it just, it's so inspiring to listen to people share their stories. And I just, that episode really, really stayed with me. It was really moving and really just, like her courage. And yeah, it's just, it's stories like that. It's why we love reading memoirs, isn't it? Just to hear people's lived experiences, especially when they're different to ours. You know, we can learn so much about hearing people speak their truth and share their story. So I loved that episode that you did with Jessica.
Yeah, she's another one whose words and her way of telling stories is, for me, transformational. In fact, I would say hers and Britta's book, reading those books were a transformational experience. It's like it's like the words were casting some kind of spell. It's just, I mean, the power of words, they really can be so powerful, and conversation and storytelling. It's, her book Purpose was a real transformational read. And so I'm glad that that came across in the conversation. And it is, you know, just going back to you saying those early days, for anyone thinking of starting a podcast, it is nerve-wracking to do it at first. Don't be put off by the idea that you feel afraid of putting yourself out there, or you feel silly, or what have I got to say, or I don't like the sound of my voice. Believe it or not, once upon a time, many, many moons ago, I also did not like the sound of my voice. I have to say, for more moons, I have really enjoyed the sound of my own voice. I will happily listen to my voice. It's so weird. I know that sounds incredibly arrogant, but I'm very comfortable with it now. I'm comfortable with listening to my voice. But once upon a time, oh God, no, I didn't like the sound of my voice at all. And I think that's really, really common. And I think, like with anything, trying something, when you're putting yourself out there and you're sharing of yourself, and you're also wanting to share in a way where you take off your armor and you be as real and honest as you can be, you're always going to get, like you were saying, Vicky, those vulnerability hangovers in the early days. And put it, for example, my conversation with Nova, and subsequent conversations I had with Nova. I remember when the second conversation I had with Nova, we talked about microaggressions, and I did an introduction to it, as we always do, to introduce the episode. I remember she texted me afterwards when she heard it, when it had gone live. She went, wow, the white fragility in that introduction. I was just like trying to make sort of like, I was awkward, and I was sort of like trying to, I don't know what I was doing, but I was sort of, I don't know what I was doing, but I was like, well, you know what? Fine. It's okay. Out it goes. And it was just, you know, I think it does take courage, is what I'm saying, particularly in the early days, to put stuff out there. And I just really, I think doing podcasts are a wonderful way. It's really important for, to have the podcasts are wonderful because I think they've brought so many diverse conversations into a space which was once very much dominated by, you know, a certain kind of person. You think of like the people on TV. I don't know why I'm thinking back to the 1940s of like white men in suits, but that's where my head always goes.
No, but I think when we started the podcast, it was only people like Ricky Gervais on iTunes doing podcasts. That's how it's long ago it was.
It's Ricky Gervais and then us. But it's true, exactly. And you don't have to have huge numbers of followers or listeners for it to be something really worthwhile doing it, particularly if you get a great deal for yourself out of the conversations alone.
Yes.
You know, I would do this if I had 10 people listening, because I get so much out of it. But it's been a wonderful source of, wonderful marketing platform for our coaching. So I think it's just, if you've ever thought about doing a podcast, You don't need, there's lots of now courses out there, how to make it look slick and professional. We literally sat on the South Bank in a couple of deck chairs with a laptop, no microphone. We've got microphones now. No microphone. We pressed record and then we uploaded it to SoundCloud. Like that was it for quite a long time.
Yeah, I think we had about 20 listeners on SoundCloud for, I don't know how long, but that was, we didn't care about that. It was more about just putting things out there and just starting something. And, you know, like my inner perfectionist really did not like this approach. It was like kicking and screaming. I remember the bus back home after we'd done our first episode in your flat in Brixton. I was so hot. I was just like freaking out.
Oh my God, you know, these 20 people, they're going to hear me talking, rambling on.
Yeah. Who am I to do a podcast? This is ridiculous. Maybe we could just, you know, delete it the next day, just get it off there, get it off SoundCloud.
Yeah. But it's always then as you start to hear people saying, hey, I've really been enjoying your podcast, or I heard that episode you did, you know, talking about this topic, and it, you know, really got me thinking. And I think, you know, when you just get one or two people starting to say that they enjoyed it, then you suddenly like, okay, so what I'm putting out there, it is resonating with a few people. And actually, I always think that's enough. You know, we've got such a thing in our society and on social media and the marketing stuff that you get of, like, you know, what makes it valid, you know, having big followers and here's how to increase your audience and here's how, you know, all this kind of stuff. And it's just, that's just more of the same capitalist nonsense. Like, it's really, I always remember when people be like, you know, I want to help millions of people all around the world. And it's just like, do you know what? If you entered your life saying, I made a difference to 20 people, that would be pretty good. Like, in, you know, when you actually think about it.
Yeah.
So I think we've got to, I think it's, yeah, it's no matter how, even just one or two people listening to a podcast and you've literally just pressed record on Audacity, a free software you can use to edit your, which we still use.
Yeah.
We do now have a set with a wonderful Tom who tweaks the sound to make it as enjoyable to listen to as possible, the sound quality. We do have that now, and we do have microphones, but for a long time we didn't, and we did very well.
Yeah. And just to give a shout out to Tom, who produces them, and also Alice, who gets them out there broadcasts them. You know, we couldn't really do it without those two people as well. So it's definitely a team effort.
Yeah. But it can start off just with you and your laptop hitting record and popping it up on. In fact, that is how I do. That's how I do the Monday Crew. My Monday Crew episodes. It literally is just me hitting record, editing on Audacity, and then popping it up. And, you know, I think that's why I love podcasts. Anyone can do it. Anyone can do it. And the more, the merrier.
Yeah.
Oh, Vicky. Well, it's not a proper goodbye. It's just adieu.
It's just bye for now.
It's just bye for now. And we will be back in September with our monthly episodes. Just me and Vicky. And let's share
how it began. Yeah,
was it? So yeah, exactly. Oh my goodness, we are. Because we did just do it monthly, didn't we?
Yeah.
There you go. We've just gone full circle.
Yeah.
Back to the original format.
Yeah.
But now with microphones. Let's share a little bit about what we're going to be doing now that we've created some space in our lives to create new things. What would you like to share?
So I'm working on a course at the moment. It's really exciting. We did a course day, me and you, didn't we, last week?
Yeah, we did.
We did some big picture thinking about our courses and gave feedback. And it was just so exciting to really get the ball rolling and get the planning going.
We're both so excited about one another's courses. It's going to be great.
So I am hoping to launch it in September. It's very ambitious, but I am going to try my hardest to get it out there in September. So hopefully by the autumn, you'll be able to see what it is.
Yeah, so excited. You're not going to tell them what it's about?
So the course is really about rewriting your love blueprint. So I believe that we all have a blueprint for love. And
I'm so excited already. Every time you say that, I'm like, oh my God, can I also do it? I want to know. I want to rewrite my love blueprint. Sorry, carry on. I interrupted. As you were.
So, yes, it's all about, I love your enthusiasm, by the way. That's really been so motivating for me this week as I've been doing more planning on the course and writing, just your enthusiasm around the concept. So thank you for that. It's really kept me going this week as I've been writing and putting more stuff down, moving things around, rejigging and all of that. So, so it's all about rewriting your love blueprint and really looking at your attachment style. So this course is for people who identify as having an anxious attachment style, people who feel insecure in love, find dating to be such a source of anxiety and stress. And the course is really about healing that love anxiety and consciously working to become more secure in your anxious attachment style or your attachment style. Dating with confidence, so changing your experience of dating so that it becomes less like a chore, which is what a lot of clients tell me that it is on a discovery call, and more like an experience that it fits into their lives. They're able to do it with confidence. They're able to deal with setbacks and rejection and ghosting and all the stuff that comes with dating, all those ups and downs. And they're able to be more resilient as they date and find the right person for them. Ultimately, that's what it's all about. You know, looking at red flags of unavailability, green flags of availability and capacity for commitment. It's really a self-discovery, self-inquiry journey. There's lots of dating involved in it. So I'll be there cheering you on as you go on dates within the course. Oh, so there's so much in it.
It is jam-packed. It is juicy. It is so good. Yeah. It was so exciting to see it take shape the other day when we did our courses session together. It was really exciting. So if people want to be the first to hear when that course becomes available, where should they sign up and keep in touch with you?
So we'll put the link in the show notes, but it's Vicky Pavitt, vickipavitt.com/Sunday Love. And there you'll get my free Sunday love letter, which is emailed to you each Sunday evening. And I will be emailing when the course is ready and I've got more information. I'll be sharing it via the Sunday love letter. So sign up there so you get, so you're the first to know, basically.
Amazing. And I too have been working on a course. I also was thinking I might have it out in September. And then I suddenly remembered it's the school summer holidays, and as well as coaching my wonderful clients, I'll also have a child at home. So no, I'm not going to be relaunching any course in September. Readjusted my timeline a bit. Also, we'll have the Goodbye 2021, Hello 2022 journal coming out. And then Goodbye 30s, Hello 40s journal coming out the start of 2022. So there's a lot of exciting things happening. But my course will be coming out somewhere at the start of 2022. And it will be for people who are just feeling so exhausted and so fed up with the treadmill, the daily grind, just the constant never-ending to-do list, and are ready for things to be different. So my course will be around that. But what I will be launching sooner rather than later is my very own podcast. So it's going to be, it's called The Monday Experiment. So very much like The Monday Crew, it's all about using Mondays as a day to really get yourself ready for the week, get yourself feeling inspired. And I'm going to have a guest every week coming and talking about a topic that will help to inspire us and show us how to create a life that we love, life and work that we love. And that guest will be giving you one thing to try that week. So it will end on a real practical tip out of what they've been talking about. One thing that they recommend you try, something that's really made a difference to them. So I'm really excited about launching that. I've also already got some very exciting guests lined up, but I don't exactly know. I haven't yet promised exactly when I'm going to be launching it. But let's say September, October. But in the meantime, you can sign up to my Monday crew, which I'm already doing, which goes out every Monday at around 12:30. And that is a little 10-minute mini podcast where, yeah, I talk about some kind of topic around life design and continuing to navigate the Corona coaster, which just seems never ending. And you also get a weekly check-in. So it's a weekly check-in that I do every week before hitting record. And it just really helps you to sort of check in with yourself and acknowledge how you're feeling, acknowledge what's going on with you in your life at the moment, what it is you want to focus on in the week ahead, and how you want to feel and an intention you want to set. And at the end, you write a little message to yourself from your wise, supportive side of yourself. And it's a really surprisingly, I don't know why it always surprises me, but it's a surprisingly powerful tool that's really does seem to be making a difference to people, and the community grows week on week. So yeah, I will pop that in the show notes, and that will be the place where you'll be the first to hear about the new podcast when it comes out, and also then the course in early 2022. Now I've readjusted my own timeline to be a little bit more realistic with what I can actually achieve, so that I don't go into my burnout archetype of the overachiever and burn myself out, which was definitely would have happened had I tried to stick to my ambitious goals. But yeah, that's what we're doing with freeing up our time a little more, but still carrying on with these delicious, juicy conversations, Vicky.
Yeah,
for another 7 years,
still carrying on, and the original.
Oh, can you imagine? In another 7, we'll be like, we've been doing this for 14 years.
Watch this space. I can 100% imagine us doing that. I love these I get so much out of our conversations that I would happily do them once a month for the rest of my life. But we're not going to make any promises. But for now, yes. So thank you to you guys for being such incredible listeners and creating such a gorgeous community around this podcast. Well, it's not a full goodbye. It's just going back to the original format, like you said, Vicky. And so here are two more juicy conversations.
Yeah, thank you from me too. Thank you so much for listening. And we wish you such a wonderful summer ahead. Yeah. And we'll see you on the other side.
You've been listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoy this episode. And if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes, and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say, best podcast ever. Thank you.